When I was on vacation, I connected with quite a few people. Some people I didn't know. One person I connected to was the owner of a putt-putt in northern Michigan. And why are you talking about putt-putt? Well, you may not know this about me, but I love putt-putt. And putt-putts are disappearing all over the country. And so this is no longer putt-putt, but it's the same course. It's now called tip-of-the-thumb mini-golf, which is not as cool as putt-putt. But I connected with the owners and talked about how wonderful putt-putt is because as a kid, I played in Caseville, and the only one left, the Caseville one, was destroyed. It was bulldozed over. The only one's in Port Austin, which is about 20 minutes away from Caseville. And so my family was up there, and we went to this putt-putt, and all my memories came back of when I was a kid hitting the ball off of these beautiful aluminum side, which no other golf course has this, putt-putt course. And so here are my kids playing. We had a great time. But I connected with a guy. He bought this during the pandemic. His family bought this. They didn't have the rights to the putt-putt name, but they said, we love putt-putt. We love this course, and we want to keep this alive and thriving for the community, even if we lose money on it. That's kind of the idea behind it. Now, who would do that? But in that time, we shared our bond over putt-putt. Now, isn't that silly? That's a connection. Then also, we went back to Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson, around the area of Mesa. We went to my brother-in-law, Luke. He was getting married to Caitlin, my new sister-in-law. And at that wedding, I met Caitlin's grandparents. And her grandparents wanted to meet me because my last name was Van Valen. And of course, Van Valen is associated with Free Methodists. That's what I'm told. So one joke is, what is a Free Methodist? And the answer is, a Van Valen is a Free Methodist. And so they wanted to meet me because they knew Clyde Van Valen, my grandfather's cousin, who was a bishop in the Free Methodist Church. They were friends with him. And so that was another connection. So the first connection of putt-putt was just interest. The second connection was affiliation. And then I connected with my dear friend, Brian Knapp from Spring Arbor. We went to college together. We've stayed connected through messaging and talking and getting together on guys' weekends. That's what we call them. Our college friends get together and we just check in on each other and encourage each other and build each other up. And that was another connection I got to make on my time away. This is before my real vacation started, going to Minnesota and fishing, which is this, when I got to be with my family, which is a deeper connection. This is blood connection, history, heritage, sharing in this good time together. We're on the dock waiting for the fireworks to start. Liam was so excited because he got to stay up late to watch the fireworks for the first time. That's my hand right there, just in case you're wondering why. What a great time together with family. We share common genetics. We share experiences. We share a home. Connections are part of life. It's just the human way of living. In fact, this is what helps us understand that we are indeed human. There's a philosophy from Southern Africa called Ubuntu, which means I am because we are. And this helps people view the other as a brother or a sister, or even if they might be a foreigner. And David Yardy read for us the great passage from Luke chapter 10, where the expert in law says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives the beautiful story of the Good Samaritan. And then he turns the question, he says, who was a neighbor? And the expert in law replies, the one who had mercy. I am because we are. We see each other. But what about connection that goes beyond acquaintances, beyond crossing paths with other people, beyond even family? Is there a connection that is deeper, that lasts for eternity? Is that possible? And of course, we give a resounding yes. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, we're going to be in Colossians for the next few weeks. By the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Remember that greeting that we did? We're going to also use that as our benediction later. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, or Epaphras, however you want to pronounce that, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. What a sentence. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Aren't you thankful you're a part of that? That is us. That is the people in Colossae. So what an encouraging open letter. You know how good it is to hear from somebody you know, and somebody who you know loves you? Somebody you haven't seen in a while. That's kind of how this would have felt for them to hear from Paul, even though they had no affiliation with him before. Except now they do, because they're in Christ. Isn't it good to know that people are thinking about you and praying for you? There's no other feeling that's like it. When people tell me they remember me and they're praying for me in my ministry and my work, it just puts me to the floor. I'm like so humbled and honored that they would even consider me to remember me and pray for me. But that's the deep connection that's part of the body of Christ. That's just one of the connections. So we see that he's making all these connections in the body of Christ. So we ask this question, what is he sharing with his new church in Colossae? But what's he also sharing with us, the church today? We are connected by the blood of Jesus. Not by interest, not by affiliation, not by friendships, though we have all those things. We're connected by something even greater than family heritage. It's the blood of Christ. We're part of his body. We have the same gospel, the same redemption from the same Christ, the same hope, the same baptism, the same Lord, serving the same God. And here's how he makes connections in this passage. He's a smart communicator. He says this, we are part of the same family. Verse 2, it says, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters, family members. If you want to be connected to somebody, just call them your family. That's why whenever I address you in emails, if you get the emails, anyone just not read my emails? I'm sure some of them just get lost. I say, dear church family, or hi church family, whatever, church family, because you are my family. A deeper connection than even my own blood family, we are connected by the blood of Christ. And we ought to treat each other as such. To my holy brothers, faithful brothers in Christ. And then he says, God our Father. We share the same Father. Now, we obviously have our own individual earthly fathers. But there's one God, our Father, who created us and sent his Son to die for us. And then we share the same Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our family. And it's good to be part of that family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the what?
Family of God.
Then he makes this other connection, this shared faith and love. He calls the people who share this faith and love the saints. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, how I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. You know that song? Did you not know that you are saints? Well, I'm not a saint. I'm not a goody two-shoe. Yes, you are. You're a saint. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the God who lived in the tabernacles where no one could enter unless they purified themselves. No priest could enter unless they purified themselves. Lives in you. That's a big deal. And this God who lives in us wells up inside of us and produces a love that we cannot produce on our own. Christians ought to be the most loving people in the world. We share a faith and a love. And then we share friends. His friend is Epaphras. The correct pronunciation is Epaphras. No, I said that wrong. Epaphras. That's the correct pronunciation. I always have to look it up in the Greek and remind myself this is the correct. But who cares? Epaphras. So I'm going to call him Epaphras. Our dear fellow servant. So we send out David and Cheryl Yardy today, our dear fellow servants, to the church in Nicholasville, or the church in Wilmore, the church in Lexington, wherever you guys are part of. You're our dear fellow servants, and we love you. Our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Do you know that you are a fellow servant of Christ to other people as well? Is that our van, our car? Sometimes our car just honks. Did it honk while we were on vacation? Did anyone notice? Yeah, it's just today when I get back. Back to the real thing here. Every servant of the Lord is a brother or sister. And that includes you and me. We are brother and sister. We are friends. We are servants of the Lord. And we share the same purpose. You know what that purpose is? It's right there in this passage. To live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. And then he goes on, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, being strengthened with all power, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. I don't know what people do when they don't have purpose. And we've seen in the news that when people don't have purpose, all sorts of chaos can come into play. All sorts of thoughts can come into their minds. And even all hell can break loose. How many mass shootings have there been in the last few weeks? Highland Park. Uvalde. How many more is it going to take? And these people who lack purpose, the only purpose they have left is destruction. Now, there's, of course, there's lesser extremes, but people who lack purpose, life is extremely, extremely difficult. And when we come together as the body of Christ, we say to one another, you and I have purpose, and this is our purpose. We focus into this one point. This purpose is to live a life worthy of the Lord and to please Him. Other places, Paul writes, he says, we make it our aim to please Him. That's in Corinthians. It's our aim to please Him, our goal to please Him, our purpose. And if you come in here today with lacking purpose, let me send you out with purpose. To live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. That's your purpose. And then, of course, the shared gospel, this shared message, which ends this passage right here. For He, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is the greatest message in the history of the world. It is a transforming message. And to all who receive the word of God, Jesus Christ, this message is a person who has come to us. All who receive Him become what? As John says. Children of God. They have faith and love. They have friends and purpose. This gospel is the outgoing message that brings more people into the fold, into the body, where we find our deepest connection. The gospel is living. it bears fruit in our life. And I would encourage you this year, as you go about your living, as you are going, as you are on your way, make disciples, as Jesus said. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Of course, this vine reminds us of John 15, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He who abides in me will bear what? Much fruit. And this fruit will last, meaning it stays connected. It produces more fruit, even. So all this to say, you are not alone. You are connected to each other and to God. You ever heard of this? 6 degrees of separation. Or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Anyone name one famous person? Go ahead, name one famous person. You can't think of any, can you? Kevin Bacon. How are you connected to Kevin Bacon? You can think of a few things. I just watched the movie Hustle. It's a basketball movie on Netflix. And lo and behold, in that movie was a college friend of mine, Micah Lancaster, who trains NBA players. And Micah Lancaster is my connection to Kevin Bacon somehow. I know Micah. Micah knows Adam Sandler, who probably knows Kevin Bacon. And you know me. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, you're 4 degrees from Kevin Bacon just by me. If you learned that from the sermon today, you're missing the point. 6 degrees of separation from everybody. That is just not affiliation. That's just knowledge, acquaintances. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, in Christ, there's no degrees of separation. Jesus has reconciled and united us to himself and to one another. We are in Christ. So you can look at a brother and sister and say, I belong to you and you belong to me. We love one another. How dare us? How dare we hate one another? That's why John writes, if anyone says he loves God yet hates his brother, he's a liar. In Christ, there's no degrees of separation. But we are united. So as Epaphras and Paul were to Colossae, so you and I are to one another and to Indianapolis. How do we do this? Well, we encourage each other. I would encourage you throughout this year, when you see each other, give an encouraging word. Lift each other up. Ask how they're doing and listen. I know I often just say, how are you doing? Just because it's a nice way to greet people. I'm sorry if I just flippantly say that. Please tell me how you're doing. I want to encourage you and build you up. I remember growing up at West Moore Street for Methodist Church, old ladies and old men, many of whom who are dead right now, spoke words to me and encouraged me and blessed me in ways that I could never imagine. And I'm thankful for them. They were an important part of building me up. And you have the same opportunity today with the kids who are here. Years from now, they may not remember your name, but they're going to have memories of people loving on them and encouraging them and giving them great words of life. What a wonderful opportunity we have. And then to serve. We serve one another in love. We can serve people directly, like doing something nice for somebody, or you can serve alongside people, which is often an even greater blessing. Isn't it a joy to serve with people? It's kind of more difficult to serve alone. Bernice, she was here, but she's somewhere else right now. But Bernice was in the heat this week doing landscaping. I'm sure she thought, I wish somebody was right here with me, sweating with me. Perhaps somebody was. But before our vacation, when I served with Bernice and Marianne outside, it was so hot. It was a joy to serve alongside with them. And down in the food pantry on Mondays, people serve together. Sometimes we step on people's toes. We say sorry, but it's a joy to serve together. We're always serving the Lord. We're always serving our neighbor. We're always serving each other, especially when we serve alongside. And there's many other ways to serve as well. And third, we walk with people or teach people. You know how in the Old Testament it says, and Abraham walked with God. That's another way of saying God taught him, he listened. And the way of teaching in American culture is often the person comes up, the teacher comes up, and he stands before people and teaches. But really the teaching that we are to do is not to stand up in front of them and shout words at them, but to walk next to them, to walk with them. And we teach scripture as we're going along. We share the gospel message as we're going along. We share the wisdom of God as we're going along. And we share our own stories and our own experiences, which is our testimony. That's what we are doing. That's what we're doing. So I encourage you, as Paul and Epaphras did to Colossae, do these things. Find common connection, where it can be as simple as finding a guy who likes putt-putt and talking to him about it. Insert whatever interest you have. Find common connection and then make real connection. And the real connection is Christ. The friendship, the fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings, the fellowship of believers. And every human connection, every opportunity you have with people and acquaintances and friends, every connection is an opportunity to connect people to Jesus. Share Jesus. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, are we not? We are all connected. So my greatest memories in life is being in a college dorm room with my closest friends and pouring out our hearts to each other, centered around Jesus. And some of my greatest memories here are being with you guys and sharing the love of Christ with each other. And I know that my greatest memories to come are going to be with people who are part of the family of faith, serving alongside each other, building each other up. And that's what we have to look forward to in this coming year. Connected with the Lord, connected with each other. Jesus, we need you, we love you. Thank you for bridging the gap. As sin has torn us apart from you and from one another, as sin has fractured our relationships, broken society, you have come to call us together, reconciling us to God and to one another, and making us into your body. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for that. Lord, we want to live with purpose. We ask that you help us to live a life worthy of the Lord. Lord, we want to please you in every way. Bless these brothers and sisters of mine, these dear fellow servants in the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to enter into our time of communion. Which is the sign, the sacrament, of Jesus saying, you are connected to me. This lasting connection. You who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life,